Let all the past be past. Live in the now and affirm in the now. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the thought for today. It's an interesting thought. Let all past be past, live in the now, and affirm in the now. I have found in counseling with thousands of men and women over the years that the thing that messes up marriages more than anything else, that destroys marriages, that utterly makes them useless, is when the participants, the husband and the wife and the children, live in the past. We saw the movie with the golden retriever.
Air Buddy.
And it was a very touching, fetching, oh, so touching movie. Oh my God, it was so touching. The boy's father was killed as a pilot in the service. And the boy longed for his father. He longed for his father. And the mother, too, was very much aware that the father was gone. The little girl didn't care. She was just a youngster, and she took it in stride. She was maybe about 3 or 4, or something like that. But the young boy was in his teens, and he had missed his father being with him. And they showed flashbacks of how his father would do this with him and his father would do that. And they showed how much he missed him and how sad he felt and what was wrong. And the boy dwelt upon this. And then the mother said, the boy is a loner. He doesn't like to be with other people. He's a very brilliant boy, but he doesn't like to be with other people and stuff. And on and on and on and on the story went. And when the boy was ready to live in the present, the mother said, oh my God, no, you know, we can't do that. He wanted to bring a dog into the house, you know. A dog would certainly cause him to live in the present, to love something in the present, not the old father who had died and chosen to end his life shorter, you know. That anyone who dies commits suicide. That sounds terrible, but it's true. But the father had finished his work, and he left the family. He abandoned them. Now, that's what happens when we die. So, we have to go on with our lives. And we're not trained to do this. We're not trained to live in the present. We're only trained to live in the past. As the Holocaust is such a good example of that. I mean, how many years ago was that took place? And how many years ago did the Jews have their crying wall for, you know, moaning wall, for the wailing wall, for whatever purpose it stood for them? How many years do the blacks live in slavery after they had been freed from slavery by Abraham Lincoln? Way back, hundreds of years ago, still living in slavery. And then all of a sudden, one person came along and said, hey, let's make a change. Let's not live in the past. Let's live in the present and say, black is beautiful. And my goodness sake, it's like you woke up a whole group of people to a new light. Black is beautiful. Hey, I'm beautiful. I don't have to feel downtrodden. I don't have to feel that I'm poor. I'm nothing. Reverend Ike went around saying, don't ever let people tell you you're poor. You was rich, rich, rich. And that is in the now. They may not have been rich, but that was what they were in the now. Ellen was talking to a young man on the phone, and she said, when you feel a pain in your body, that's the time instantly to say, I'm whole and perfect. But I'm not whole and perfect. I can feel the pain. That's the time you tell your body, get back in order. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. You do not pay attention to the past, because the hurt is a reference to the past. It has something to do with the past. You only pay attention to the present. I've been dealing with a lot of people over the years, and many of them presently, who are living in the past. And they feel that, oh, that past is so good. At breakfast, we had a 10-minute talk on the type of beers that Elias used to like. This is Ellen's former husband who chose to die, and so he's not with us anymore. And she keeps bringing him back, telling how he enjoyed having different styles of beer in his refrigerator. Well, now, there's nothing wrong with that. That's quite normal. But that's living in the past. That's living in the past. And if any of you have any problems in your life, and you say the problem stems from something, that's right, the past. It stems from the past. Right now, we put a new cause in motion for our life. I'm whole and perfect. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I'm hearty. Everything is in divine order in my life now. Whether it was in divine order in your life in the past, whether you had your mind in a sad shape in the past, doesn't make a difference. You can only live in the now. You can only live in the present tense. You can only be what you are right now. And when Ingeborg came back from her trip to Europe and had fallen down and broken her shoulder, she was wearing her cast, her red badge of courage, and we said to Ingeborg, why are you wearing that? Oh, I have to wear this. This is important to wear. Well, she went to the doctor, and the doctor said she didn't have to. Ha! And she was wearing it, why? As her red badge of courage. She had hurt herself. And she wants you to kiss her hurt. You know, everyone does. If not physically, mentally, be aware of it. You know, be sorry for me. I got hurt. Like the little child who hurts himself on the playground at school. And he really cut his knee and blood coming down and everything. But he's not going to waste his hollering. He's going to get within hearing distance of home. Maybe even at opening the front door. Oh, Mom, Mom, I got killed. You know, and Mother comes running to the door. What happened? On the playground. Ooh, on the playground. And you got home all right. Well, that's one one thing out of the way. And she said, come on, let's go wash this up now and get you shaped up again. Oh, Mom, you always know the right thing to do. You know, but he had to be within hearing distance for her to hear him being unhappy that he got hurt. The hurt didn't need to be cried about all the way home, because there was nobody else he wanted to affect with his hurt than his mother. Nobody else whose attention he wanted than his mother's. Well, in the movie, Air Buddy, he found this golden retriever who had been misused by his former owner. And it's a charming way that it came about, and charming what the dog was able to do. It was a mature dog. And it was really a delightful story from then on. But from then on, there was no remembrance, no replay. There was no flashback to the father who's dead. No flashback. Living in the present. Living in the now. You see, everyone needs something to love. And they need something to love in the present. Most people love themselves. And they don't find that adequate. So they want to get a cat or a dog or a snake or something. Really, that's, people love snakes too. And they want to have these things because they want something to love. They want to get away from the past. They want to live in the present. And when you have a person who has a dog and you say, what kind of dog did you have before you had this one? I've always had schnauzers. Oh, yeah. You got to think about it, because the past is past. You're not living there. You're living in the present. You say, is this a good dog? Wow, is this a good dog? Is this a great dog? You see, you're living in the present. And I say, gee, Ingeborg, you were living in the monk cells for years. Now you have your inner cell in the house. You know, with forced air heat and all that sort of good stuff. Don't you miss the old monk cell you used to live in? She says, in proper, dutiful way, I can live anywhere at all and I am peaceful. Yes, you know. But if you really asked Ingeborg, does she like being in the house or does she want to go back out into the monk's cell? I think she would choose to stay in the house, wouldn't you? Yeah, you shake your head yes. Mm-hmm. And I know Sylvia would. I know Sylvia has gone through her period of living in the monk cell and handled it real well, but now she created herself living more expansively. Now, it's Sylvia's duty. It's what Sylvia chose to do. That didn't happen to her by accident. She put those causes in motion and she brought that about. And you put your causes in motion and you brought it about. It's all your choice. But both of you were the same way. You wanted a bigger office than you wanted a bedroom. So Sylvia got a big office and a little bedroom. And Ingeborg got a big office and a little bedroom. Both of them got exactly what they wanted. Now they could have switched it around and worked it the other way, but they didn't. We always live in the present and we always get exactly what we have. We live in the now and we affirm in the now. We don't quibble over the past or quibble over the past. We don't think about the past. We only think about the present. Now, are you ready to live in the present? Are you ready to forget the past? Are you ready to, when your dog dies, instantly buy a new one? When your husband leaves you, instantly get a new one? Buy a new one? No, when your husband or wife leaves you, instantly go out and get a new one? Or did having the previous spouse teach you that you really don't need another person in your life to help you to be the person you are? Because most people get married not necessarily to have children. That used to be, it never was a reason, really. They had to be encouraged to have children. In fact, the Catholic Church encouraged the people to have children so they'd have a lot of church members, which of course is the totally wrong reason, you know. And other churches do the same thing. And some communities, they need more men and they need more women. And so they encourage people to have more children. And of course in China, they encourage you not to. One kid is all they encourage you to have, maybe two, but they want you to keep the population down because it's so big. Now, what's that all about? Well, what it's all about is when we start to like ourselves, we start living in the now and enjoying who we are, and we don't need anyone to come along and say, oh, sweetheart, you're so wonderful. Oh, sweetheart, you made such a nice dinner tonight. You know you made a nice dinner. You went to a lot of bother to make a nice dinner. And you wanted to make a nice dinner for yourself? Hey, sounds good, doesn't it? You want to make a nice dinner for yourself and the family. But the family comes second. First, it's for yourself, because if you don't do nice things for yourself, you're not going to do nice things for anybody else. And I tell you so often, if you're going to give a gift, please remember, give a gift that you would like to receive. Not a gift that somebody else would like to receive or needs, but give a gift that you would like to receive. Now, if you are sincere and you say, well, what I'd like is a nice big hug and a kiss right now. That'd be the best gift I could. Then give it. If you find that a very commendable gift, then you give that as a gift. Because that means a lot to you. And it'll mean a lot to the other person too, because it means a lot to you. Yeah. I know a woman who found it very difficult to tell her former husband that she loved him. And she went through years and years and years, 30 years of not being able to do that. And occasionally she'd slip and say it. And then she'd feel, oh, flustered, you know, for having said it. Now, why is that person unable to do that? Because they're unable to love themselves. If they love themselves, they can love everybody. I got a letter back from a person one time. They said, "You write 'I love you' on everybody's letter. You write 'beloved' on everybody's letter. You know, aren't I special?" And I said, "My God, you're special. You're the only person with your name that I write to 'beloved,' and I sign 'I love you.' Everybody else has a different name. You're the only person with your name. And you know why I love you? Because I love myself. And I'm unable to not love. I am able to. I can only love." See how it's important to stay in the positive. You don't get trouble in the negative. I can only love. And I can only love completely whenever I love, in the now. And there is no past. There is no past with anybody. Because only the present counts. And only the present is exciting. There was a little story, and on the end of the story it said, "Copyright by this person." And I thought, how unhappy. How unhappy that people copyright stories and copyright things. Because it'd be so nice to pick it up. I wrote a story for the GIST, for my Serendipity, and then I asked Sylvia to tell the story. She didn't know I'd written it, but to tell the story. And so Sylvia told the story from an entirely different point of view, like how the author had written it, you know. And my story was a little creative. Now, if anyone were to compare my story with the author's story, they'd say, "Well, that's not how they said it at all." Well, that's how I said it. That's how I said it. And the author would say, "Yeah, I recognized my thread of my story in there, but you certainly rearranged it a lot." Well, this story that this author said was copyrighted was a very charming one given out in the Filipino letter. And it was very charming. And very heartwarming, heartrending, you know. The little girl was something like 5 or 6, and she said, "Mommy, I didn't know that there were people in the world who didn't have enough clothes to wear. What is that picture you're showing me there and telling me about, that the little children in some orphanages don't have enough clothes to wear, and they don't have gloves and things like that?" And the mother said, "Well, that's, everyone doesn't have a nice family like we have, whose father brings in enough money so that we can have all the things we want." You won't recognize the story with the original now. And so the little girl said, "But Mommy, why don't people, because, you know, there's plenty of clothes. We have plenty of clothes, and everybody has plenty of things and stuff." "Well, that's just the way people have it in their consciousness," the mother said. "People believe that they're poor, and then they're poor. People believe they don't have enough clothing to wear, and they don't have enough clothing to wear. People believe these things about themselves. But Mommy, they don't have to believe that." "That's true, sweetheart. Why don't we go and help them to believe something different?" "Well, how would you have us do that, sweetheart?" "Well, we could give them something." "That's true. But where would you start? Who would you like to start giving something to?" And so the little girl said, "Well, this little girl right here in the picture. We should take something to her at Christmas time." And the mother said, "That's very lovely." So the little girl went to see Santa Claus in the department store. And Santa said, "Well, sweetheart, what would you like?" And the little girl said, "Oh, nothing, nothing." And Santa said, "Nothing? No, I want to see this little girl who lives in an orphanage. I want to see her have a lovely coat, you know." And Santa Claus said, "A lovely coat? Well, that's a nice adult word for a little girl. So how is she going to get this lovely coat?" And the little girl says, "Well, you bring it to her." And Santa says, would you be my helper? And the little girl said, yes. And Santa said, well, will you take her a coat for me? And the little girl says, yes. And she says, where should I get it? Well, just ask your mommy. Your mommy will give you one. And so the little girl went to her mother and said, mommy, I want to take a coat to this little girl in this picture. And the mommy said, okay. And so Christmas came. And the little girl had not asked one thing for herself, just for her friend who she hadn't even met yet. And so they went to the orphanage and they found this little girl and they gave her the coat. And the little girl was so happy. But of course, the mother was wise and wrapped up a few toys and other things too for the girl. And they gave it to the girl. And then the little girl looked around the orphanage and said, gee, everybody could use something, you know. And the mother said, now just a minute, dear. We'll take care of one child here. And you can tell your friends maybe they'd like to help some other child too. And so the little girl asked her mother if they could take care of that child all year long, not to adopt the child, but to go there and visit the child now and then and bring her clothing and bring her things for her. And the mother said, yes. And that's what they did. But the little girl had asked nothing for herself because she had everything and she wanted it for her friend that she didn't even know. You see, living in the now is so exciting. It is so wonderful. It is so glorious because, and the giving is giving something that we would like the little girl would like a new coat. But rather than for herself, she gave it to her new friend. Living in the now doesn't remember the past. You don't say, why did that little girl in the orphanage have the ideas that she was poor and didn't have things? The little girl living in the now was teaching her that she does have things, and that when she puts a smile on her face, the whole world opens up to bring every gift that she could possibly want. Affirm living in the now, and watch yourself open up. Not that you give so much, but you will. But rather that you are a channel for the flow of infinite goodness through you into all the world. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.